Hallelujah. Lots of stuff going on. Amen. It's good. God put a message on my heart this morning about God's garden, and we are part of God's garden. We're going to start reading with 1 Corinthians 3, 9. And this is going to be the Amplified. I will try, it'll come on the screen in the right version, but I'll try to tell you so you'll know what version we're using, unless it's King James Version, and then we'll just, that's the most what we'll be using. Okay, it says here, "For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building." So we, as God's children, are a garden under cultivation. We have a garden. We always have a garden. And as long as the garden's going, we have to pull weeds out of it. And we have to, you know, we'll plant new things and harvest old things. And it's just always a work in process. And even though we are a work in process, God says we're still working with him and for him. And so we never wait till we get to perfection, which we won't till until Jesus comes. We're under cultivation. We're still growing, but we still, God uses us. We're his garden. We're his garden, and he uses us to work with him and for him. We're also called God's building. How many of you have ever been around construction? When there's construction going on, there's always messes to clean up. Always. Have you had a room remodeled in your house and you had to deal with all of the mess? Well, we are God's construction. And so, you know, messes come up. You know, they just come up and we clean them up and we go on to get the finished product. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:14, we're not going to read it, just says, "Where there's no oxen, the trough is clean." Well, oxen was their livelihood back in those days. You know, they needed their oxen for their prosperity. But it says, "Where there's no oxen, you know, the trough is clean. You know, the ground is clean. There's no mess." You know, it's like, where there's life, there's going to be messes to clean up. Graveyards are orderly and clean. Nurseries filled with babies are not. One is alive and the other is dead. In Spanish, there's a saying that says, "El bebé que no llora, no respire." The baby that doesn't cry isn't breathing. You know, so if we want to increase, we need to get a shovel and learn how to patiently work with people while they're in process. Because when people are born again, they're not perfect. They're not there yet. You know, they have things. And we need to be helpful in helping one another. I'm going to read a scripture about the discipline of God. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, 7 through 11, and this is in the Message. It says, "God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. The trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training. The normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. So why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them. But God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the same time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. I like to say, you know, when God corrects us, it hurts, but it hurts good, because you know that's good for me. That's helping me. It's setting me free from things that were hurting me. And God doesn't, we're going to go into this later, but God doesn't send bad things to punish us. God, when we read his word speaks to us. When we stand, when we're praying, there's, you know, it just comes up in us. You know, that needs to be corrected. Just last week in the prayer room, we started to pray for a family that were having trouble. And I started praying for them with just a little bit of an attitude, like, you know, what's wrong with them? What are they thinking? And I mean, just, I was just barely starting off praying, and God just corrected me. He said, that's not your business. He says, you pray for them, but pray blessings on them. Pray that they'll have the mind of God. Pray that their ears will be open to hear the will of God and the voice of God. Pray that they, that God's will and purpose and plan will be done in their life. And I'm not them, so I don't know that. But I'm praying that they, their ears will be open. Pray in love. Pray in blessing. Bless them. You know, and you know, I've been part of God's garden for a lot of years. And God still pulls weeds out of me sometimes, because it's very easy to get into a wrong attitude, to get in fear, to get in frustration. And you know, all of those things God daily wants to deal with us about to keep us clean and right before him. John 15, 1 through 2. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. God corrects us, and he prunes us by his word and spending time in his presence. You know, that's how, as children, you know, he speaks to us. And sometimes when we realize that was the wrong thing for me to do, there's a pain, you know, there, I'm sorry, God. I didn't even realize I had that attitude or I was wrong. But his correction really, sometimes it you know, it feels like, ouch. But it hurts good, because you know that he's setting you back in line and back straight. But bad things happening to us are not God's discipline. We're going to read John 10:10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the enemy or the thief kills, steals, and destroys. And what does God do? He gives life and life more abundantly. That's a dividing line. But something that we need to know, that there is a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. And when we allow sin to stay in our life, whether it's sins of the flesh or sins of the heart, you know, bad attitudes, fear, jealousy, whatever it is, when we allow that sin, what we've done is open a door for the enemy to come in and attack us. I think it's Ephesians 2:27 says, give no place to the devil. In the Amplified, it says, don't give a foothold to the devil. And so that's why it's every day good to come before the Lord. God, search me, like King David did. Search my heart. Know me. You know, just every day keep ourselves clean and keep walking in the light, because that's where we're safe from the attacks of the enemy. I'm going to read Psalms 91, verse 1, and then we're going to go to verse 9 through 12. 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Most High here in the Hebrew is El Elyon. And the nature of El Elyon, if you investigate the nature, is love, light, life, freedom, and forgiveness. Okay, we're going to go on down to verse 9. It says, because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. I'm going to read it just a little different with the meanings of the word, of what El Elyon means. And it says, because you have chosen to live in love, in light, in life, in freedom, and forgiveness, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So there's a secret place of the Most High to dwell in. That's a safe place. And that's why it's important that we walk in light, that we walk in love, that we walk in freedom, that we walk in forgiveness. Because in that place is where we're covered and the angels are about us and we're protected from the attacks of the enemy. Hallelujah. Referring now back to the passage in John we read, is about being connected so we can be fruitful. God wants us connected to him so we can be fruitful. In the world, the work ethic is achieve and produce by working longer and harder. The focus on getting results through human effort. However, in God's way is oriented toward process and relationship. Not working harder ourselves, but it's about process and relationship rather than performance and production. God is interested in results, which he calls fruit, but not by pushing us to work harder. The Lord's way is to work with us and through us so that every result comes out of our abiding in him. And like that scripture said, since without him we can do nothing. You know? That's what that verse said in John, that without him we can do nothing. But if we are in him, if we're abiding in him, we will have results. This is opposite of the culture that we live in today and to human nature in general. We're continually bombarded with self-help books, promoting self-esteem, self-confidence, self-control. Our society is all about me. It's all about self. That's where we live, all about self and what I can do. However, God's way of success produces the results which are not produced by self-effort, but which grow out of an intimate relationship with him. That's how we grow, through relationship. The only way we can become fruitful is to understand the Lord's fruit-bearing process. If we lay down our natural human independence, become dependent on him, and abide in his vine, then his power, his will, and his desires will be realized in our life, which then will bear fruit that remains throughout eternity. We're going to read Colossians 1:10. It says that you may walk in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This isn't just talking about intellectual knowledge. John 4:24 tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So, we're going on now to Colossians 1:27. It says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Any victory we have isn't because something we have done. It's because we have Christ in us. Hallelujah. When you read the word Christ in the scriptures, it signifies the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Isaiah 61:3, it says that we're planted to display God's glory. We can't display God's glory without the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We need his work within us. We're going to read John 14:16-17, and then we're going to go down to verse 26, and I'm going to read that one in the Amplified. The first one's in the New King James, or it may be in, I think it's in the Amplified. Okay. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take into its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. For he lives with you constantly and will be in you. And then down to verse 26, but the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to remembrance everything I have told you. Well, the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. And so now we have access to the Holy Spirit and all of these things that he does for us. So we need the Spirit of the Lord upon us and within us to guide us and direct us. We're going to Galatians 5:22-23, and we're going to read this in the Amplified. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such there is no law that any that can be bring a charge. These are the character traits of our abiding in the vine. When we abide in the vine, these things begin to develop in our life because of the Holy Spirit within us. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit work with the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:6 that faith actually works through love. And the word for works in the Greek is the Greek word inner hail, from which we get our word energy. In other words, faith is energized through love. Remember that when Jesus had compassion on the hungry, on the multitude, his compassions worked and the food was multiplied and everyone was fed. Remember so many times in the New Testament when people were sick, he said, and he had compassion on them and they were healed. So we see that the fruits of the Spirit and energize the gifts of the Spirit to work. Hallelujah. Without the energy of the character traits of the Spirit flowing through our lives, we won't be able to exercise the gifts consistently and with excellence. Only integrity joined with passion can enable us to move in the anointing. So it's important that we have the integrity, and that's developed by the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. John 14, 21 says in the New Living Translation, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Delayed obedience is really disobedience. If God tells you to do something, he means right now. If you put it off and says, well, I'll think about it, I'll pray about it. You know, God tells you to do something and you tell him, oh, okay, I'll pray about it. See if I agree with you. You know, that's a little bit foolish, but God wants us to be obedient, and right when he speaks to us. Sometimes he will tell us to do something, and if we don't do it right then, we'll have lost the moment. You know, there might be somebody at Walmart you see, and the Lord will say, go say an encouraging word to them, and you're like, well, I don't even know them, you know, or whatever. But we will, a lot of times we will miss the opportunity altogether if we don't obey right when God puts something on our heart. Hallelujah. We need to live in fellowship with the Lord, spend time in his presence. You know, just in your own time at home, have a special time where you get away. It may be just your comfortable chair, but just sit and listen for the voice of the Lord. Read his word. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring it alive to you. You know, and listen to what God is saying to you. Because we're his babies. We're God's children. We're his babies. You know how much your babies are precious to you. Well, we're God's babies. And he wants our fellowship. He wants us listening to him. He wants us talking to him. He wants our communication. And if we will spend time in his presence, just quiet before him, he'll speak to us. You know, he'll bring things up. You know, when you're sitting before the Lord, get a pen and paper. Write down what the Lord tells you. Because sometimes if you don't write it down, it'll just slip off and then it'll be gone. But in your time with the Lord, take time to write those things that God brings up in your heart. And even if they're not for right now, there'll be something that you need for later. You know, I'm getting off my message, but something Calvin and I have learned years ago, and a whole lot of this came from going into places in Mexico that didn't have Christian works. And we would spend several months praying over a pueblo before we went in. And we would just pray. We would go there and pray sometimes, almost every time, but we would also pray at home. We would just consistently and faithfully pray for where God was leading us to go next. And then when we got there, the battle was already won. We had already paved the way with our prayers. You know, if there's something that you feel God wants in your life, pray about it. Pave the way with your prayers. I just feel like going into testimonies. I just feel like they'd be a little richer right now. Goodness, it must have been about in the early 90s, the Lord sent us on a prayer journey down into the Navajo area. And it was before our Bobby and Mickey had moved into that area. And he just sent us to pray. And we would go from one little town to another little town. And we would get out and immediately would feel, oh, we can enjoy this town as a tourist. But there was a whole lot of the towns the Lord says, this is yours. Put your feet down here in my name. Put your feet here in my name. Because remember, the Lord told Abraham, where you put your feet, I'll give it to you. And we went from Pueblo to Pueblo, lots of them, and most of the little towns we were going through didn't have any Christian work at all, evangelical Christian work at all. And we would get out, and we would just begin to walk all over town. And as we would walk, we would say, there will be people from this town before the throne of God on that day, declaring his name, praising him, and worshiping him. And we would walk up and down the streets. There will be people from this town. And at the time, there wasn't one born-again person in that town. And we would walk, and we would walk, and we would pray, and we would say, there will be people from this town before the throne in that day. Well, then it was just like a couple of years later, Bob and Mickey moved down there, and they began to go to these towns. And we didn't tell them what towns we went to. They just began to go where the Lord was leading them. And one not long after this, there Bobby wrote one, sent me an email, and he said, Mom, today we went to this little bitty town up in the mountains above Alamos. And he said it was obviously a drug town. And he said we had a service in the plaza, and everybody that came gave their hearts to Jesus. And he said it was so easy. And it came up in my spirit, it was easy because your mom and dad had already prayed it through before you got here. Hallelujah. There's things that God wants to do in your lives, and you need to pray it through before you get there. You need to put time and prayer in it. When we first moved down here in 87, we lived in a little shack on 4th Street. You could see daylight through every wall almost, and Calvin began to work on it. But I got a prayer burden. I just started praying south of me, just south of me. I just started praying, and I wept. And I cried, and I wept, and I would pray, God, send someone to these people that have never heard. And I would cry, and it went on at least 6 months. I just bawled, and I bawled. I would embarrass my daughters, and they would say, Mom, you can pray without crying. But I couldn't, not during that time. I had a travailing prayer on me for those Pueblos. And shortly after that, we went down into that area, and in a 50-mile radius around Cumbas, we found 200 towns, and we found 5 very small Christian churches. There was most of the towns hadn't even heard the salvation message. And we began to work and continued praying. In that same area today, I think there, out of the 200 towns, there's maybe 5 towns that I don't know about, don't know, that has a Christian church. And many of the towns have many Christian churches in them, multiple churches. listen to your heart. Listen to your spirit, because God wants to do things through you, and it starts in prayer. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your children. Pray into their future what God has planned for them. God wants our children free, and he wants them serving him. Begin to plant that time in prayer. Take each of your children before the Lord and begin to declare their salvation, and that God will use them for his glory and his plan and his purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Begin to learn, to just begin. Hallelujah. God wants things from you and for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a purpose and a plan for everyone here today. And you'll get there by praying it through before you get there. Praying it through ahead of time. Pray it through. Begin to develop your prayer time. Begin to talk to God. God has a prayer assignment for you that will change people's lives and bring glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Father, I just feel that this last few minutes have been your words and your time. Lord, you have a purpose and a plan for every person in this building. And Lord, I thank you for even right now begin to drop in their hearts prayer assignments and assignments for them to accomplish. Father, begin. It right now. God's birthing things in your heart right now. Listen. Listen in the days to come, because God has a purpose and a plan for you, but he needs your ear. He needs your heart, and he needs your ear. He needs you to hear him, and he needs you to be obedient. Obedient in prayer, and when he tells you to go, go. Hallelujah. He may tell you to go to a neighbor. He may tell you to go walk the streets of Douglas and pray. He may tell you any number of things, but God has assignment for everyone here. Oh, Father, I just thank you that right now you will begin to drop your assignment into people's heart right now. Right now, begin to birth your purpose and your plan and your assignment. And just remember that God may drop something in your heart that you'll say, well, that's too big for me, but nothing's too big for God. Nothing's too hard for God or too big for God. Father, I just thank you. I commit this congregation to you. I put them into your hands. And I thank you, Lord, that your will and purpose and a plan will be accomplished in each individual. That they will see a vision of your plan for them and your vision for them that will bring blessing to them and honor and glory to your name, Father God. Oh, Father, thank you for waking us up to hear your voice, to seek your face, to stand in faith for a future that you have for us. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we will be willing to pay the price to bring into existence what your purpose and your plan is. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If anyone needs prayer, particularly for anything,